Interesting.
I hope she does. But she probably has dinner with the family every night. Or some of the, she's required whoever's living in her house to have sit at the dinner
they
table.
They sit at the dinner table.
If she's home.
Well, but Eli told us all those stories about Madonna that weekend.
Yeah.
I think she was in and out very villainy, like the Wicked Witch or something. It's like, oh, she's coming by.
Sounded like that.
That didn't, maybe she that didn't sound like kids. A family dinner.
Maybe not. Maybe not. It's a different time, though.
It is a different,
the Rebel Heart time.
Rebel Heart.
Pre-Rebel Heart. Which we're kind of in now in her life. Oh my goodness.
Here we go. Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be, girl.
Okay.
All right.
This is Mark.
And this is Kenny.
And this is, All I Want to Do Is Talk About Madonna.
Album 14, track 8.
I don't give a dot, dot, dot.
A fun song to revisit because I think when this song, you know, this whole album, I think is like this weird, it has all this negative energy around it.
Yeah.
But actually going into the album, I find it to be a really fun album, an interesting album. And this song was a song I did not care for at all when this album came out first.
Okay.
This was like, I didn't like the sound of it. Yeah. I didn't care for the speak singing.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like it, but now I like it a lot, actually.
I'm thrilled that the American Life rapping Madonna is back, talking about her life, telling us facts, lifting the veil, lifting the garage door to see inside the car.
And I think this is even more honest than the rap in American Life.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're getting a real, like a stream of consciousness, you know, with some rhyming.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Some faux rhyming. I mean, she wrote this with Martin Solvig and Julian Labré.
Yes.
And Nicki Minaj, obviously.
Who I actually looked up Julian Labré. Did you know him? Julian Jabré.
Jabré, I'm sorry.
Julian
Jabré.
Julian Jabré. Also, you know, as a producer, musical engineer, but also like made his own music. And he had this song from 2006 called Swimming Places, which was a really popular song. We'll be right back. didn't recognize it, but
it sounds like I remember hearing it like over in soundtracky world.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a sound you'd hear like when you're out at a restaurant or at a club bar or something.
Well, and he also dabbled in gospel music. And yes, he did this. He re-released this song by this gospel group from the early 80s called Stand on the Word. And he then re-recorded they remixed the original song and released it. And then he did a version of the album it came from with the children of the original gospel singers.
Oh.
So it's this like project where they redid the music with the project.
Listen, I just want to acknowledge that you didn't really tell me what you thought about the song.
This song is kind of all over the place for me. Mm. I can get into the groove of it now. I remember not liking it when I heard it originally. I felt like it was Madonna whining a lot about privilege.
Mm.
And none of the things she's describing is not something she signed up for. Nothing's happening to her. Like, oh, right. I have to do this thing. Like, she's signed up for all this stuff. She has to meet with the manager. She has to, you know, multitask. She has to figure out. Remember your password on the phone. Like these are not hard things, Madonna.
Well, I think when you have probably four different phones, maybe it's hard to remember all the passwords.
But does she? I thought she had one phone. Remember when she was off social? She wasn't involved at all in it? I mean,
which is this time?
Well, I always think of Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks doesn't own a computer still and doesn't drive.
Oh.
And I'm always like, you know, Karen, her assistant of many, many years, like she wishes she had Tina. Karen does everything for her in terms of that stuff.
Yeah.
And she still doesn't. I think that's the badass move to have.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, Madonna has a lot of assistants and managers and an agent and a chef.
Yeah.
Three nannies.
Three nannies.
But she still has a lot going on. And it is a great, like, I think it's interesting too, like, yeah, again, when I first heard the song, I was like, I'm not into it. I don't like this groove. But now, yeah, I get into the groove too. This song and the next song both benefited from the live performances.
They totally
grew on me through what she did with them on tour.
Yes.
This song, we can talk about that later, but I think like really captures so much of what we've been talking about this season about her, like her life as like a frenzy and all these different things that she's trying to do at the same time.
And it's interesting you bring up this and I'm a Sinner because they do feel refracting each other. So this is the dark side of that and the light and the fun side of being Madonna is I'm a Sinner. And this is the heavy stuff, the obligations, the calendar.
Yes.
And it's all of these things that maybe when she was I always thought like when she was writing this, she's like, okay, everyone's so nibby and nosy. Let me tell them what it's really like what my day is like and what the obligations and the constantly pooling. And, you know, I loved the line. I remember the line about having to get the costume, get the clothes to gotta impress,
get the
dress, make myself gotta impress.
Yep.
And that just that obligate. Oh, it's not even fun to do that.
Meet the press by this. Well, she says,
he was so mad at me. Who's that custody lawyer? Suck it up. Didn't have a pretty enough. Make a film, write a song. Gotta give my seconds on. Meet the press by the dress. All of this to impress. Grab my horse, break some bones. Take it down and set me tone. I forgot to see my friend. Baby Jesus on the stairs. Gotta sign the contract. Gotta give my money back. All the bodies have to go. Get another phone call. I'm gonna be okay. I don't care what the people say.
like her to-do list or her just like stream of consciousness, you know? Which I really, really appreciate and I think is like really honest. I don't think there's anything false in what she's writing about.
No, the way though that she communicates it kind of makes it kind of whiny and it the voice is kind of vocodery and kind of the chanting. I wish it doesn't have that beautiful melody that American Life had. Mm. And it kind of gets to it near the end of the song after the Nicki Minaj rap, which we'll get to, where it kind of all comes back together and she does one more verse of it. I'm going to live my life, going to live fast, all of that. That's almost when it kind of lifts.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. This to me felt like, again, and I felt like with Martin Solvig, I'm guessing this was the third song they worked on of the three, or maybe there was another. I think he said there was another song or two that they worked on. But this felt to me like they were just starting to find something and it didn't open up. And then on tour, I felt like she opened the song up and found like the rock and roll badass that she wanted to be on this song.
Yeah.
This to me also is like, you know, we're now, this is the third song in a row that is guitar based.
Yes.
Which I really love too. Even though it sounds like Some Girls isn't a guitar based song, it really is.
Yeah.
And this is the most rock and roll of the songs that she's played so far. And
yet buried in, it's still kind of buried in the kind of synthy stuff that's going on. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. And I kind of wish they had stripped it back more like they do on the tour. And and a lot of the rage that she had, you can feel there's a rage under this that never kind of explodes.
Right. I think it's in the, I think you're right about the sing song, about the, like the verses themselves, because in live, she can't keep up with it.
No.
And part of it is like, well, that's sort of the point, meaning she can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
She doesn't give a fuck. She's just going to get through it as much as she can.
I kind of wish the rolling rolling floor from Who's That Girl tour, she was like running along
hitting things.
She went,
things were like passing by her and she's like, ah, fuck it.
Signing things quickly. She's signing a contract.
Yeah. It's just like things are going, well, that would have been a great video.
Delivering FedEx envelopes, you know, back and forth around the stage.
She would have been like, oh, there's baby Jesus on the stairs. Like, what would that image have been?
Let's talk about that, because you love that line.
Well, I'm always just like interested in all of these lyrics, you know, okay, so let's just go back. There are a couple more that I like, okay? So she's like, children on your own. This is your life. Children on your own. Okay. Turning on the telephone. Messages. Manager. No time for a manicure.
I think she always has time for a manicure and a pedicure. I have not seen a chip nail on the woman since probably 1988.
We don't really see her toenails that often.
We never see. Thank God.
There's that one picture I sent you where we saw her feet. And I was like, Madonna's feet.
Working. Those are dancer feet. Dancer feet and runner feet are not cute feet.
She's like, working out, shake my ass. I know how to multitask. We know,
she
girl.
Does.
We know,
yes,
girl.
We know, girl.
Connecting to the Wi-Fi, went from nerd to superb.
I think that's, I used to not know how to use the Wi-Fi. Now I know how, so I'm superb. I'm not a computer nerd. I'm a superb.
Have you seen the new guy?
That's the new tech guy who's gonna give her the password.
I thought she meant like, have you seen the new guy hanging out in our house? He's hot.
Oh no, the gardener. And
they're like, Madonna, that's your boyfriend. She's like, oh, I didn't know that contract had started. Oh. I forgot the password. So she's asking for the tech guy. Yeah, have you seen the new guy?
Have you seen the new guy?
I forgot the password. Gotta call the babysitter, tweeting on the elevator. I got to take a helicopter. I don't even feel the pressure.
Now that I kind of love.
Yes.
Because it's like she's solving problems in the moment. I could just take a helicopter.
Right.
Like that'll solve that problem.
Right. I'll get there. It's fine.
Done. It's all good.
But I don't even feel the pressure. Of course, the song is like against that. Meaning like the song is like this pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Right. Like
It's simmering. Everything is simmering without exploding. And
Totally. And then I think the chorus is like her mantra to get through it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be okay. I don't care what the people say.
I'm going
to be all right. Going to live fast and I'm going to live right. I'm moving fast. Can you follow my track? And this is again like a can't stop, don't stop, over and over.
I can
just keep going. Nothing's going to get in my way.
Do you think though that she wishes that was a little slower? Do you think this is a cry for help in some way? Do you think that there are moments? I mean, we've been talking about how busy the summer. This has been a working summer in so many ways. Like, do you think that there are moments where she's like, God, can I just slow down and like chill? Do you think this is partly a cry for help?
Oh, I never thought of it like that.
It's just a question because I was thinking, like, you can't be this.
I don't think so.
No, but there's something about it, though, that sometimes I'm like, God, like, would she just want it all to stop for 6 months?
Well, we've talked about this before. Like, we've begged her as we've gone through, be like, if you had just taken a year off before Sticky and Sweet or Hard Candy, everything would have been better. And yet, I just think that this is her saying, no, I keep going and I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going
to give a.
And I think that she, I don't think that it's a cry for help. I think it's like, here's what's going on. If you want to know what's going on, you all are, you know, like, this is how I'm feeling inside.
Yeah.
Because she gets to some really, I mean, it gets deeper as it goes.
Let's talk about that bridge.
I tried to be a good girl. I tried to be your wife. Diminish myself. And I swallow my lies. I tried to become all that you expect of me. And if it was a failure, I don't give up.
Swallow My Light Breaks My Heart. That is where I'm like, I cannot dismiss this song as just privileged whining.
And I tried to become all that you expect of me. And if I was a failure, I don't give a.
I mean, that, and Nate, is that, that's kind of the point, is that she had all these things on a to-do list. She's hammering them all out. The one thing that she doesn't accomplish is this kind of whatever she supposes Guy Ritchie wanted her to be.
And what she wanted, what she thought she wanted, or what she thought would make it work, right?
Yeah.
The only thing that, yes, you're right. The only thing on her list that she can't actually control or manage or, you know, she went for and couldn't get, right?
I always think about people who are like, you know, I always cook dinner every night. Like, there's like people who have these successful relationships. Because I talk to people and I'm always asking us, like, what is the secret? What's the secret to you guys? And we always have dinner together and we always make dinner. And I always make dinner. And that to me is an accomplishment of the day. And if I do nothing else in the day, I know I'm going to make dinner and we're going to have dinner together. And I always wonder that if there was this thing that, like, Madonna and Guy Ritchie, like, this routine that as long as if they could get that, then that would have meant it was a successful day in their relationship.
Mm. Yeah, but who knows if they had a routine, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, was it like, we're going to read in bed for an hour before we go to bed every night? Because, you know, Madonna loves to read.
Right.
And get her feet rubbed. Maybe they rubbed each other's feet and read.
Right, possibly.
I just think about those things of, like, these little things that are like, you know, we got all this stuff done, but at the end of the day, it matters if we, like, sit in bed and read together.
And connect. Yeah, some way to connect. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I think that's all true. I think what's interesting is we're really, for most of the song, in a relatively present time.
Yeah.
Meaning, it's, you know, everything we've chronicled in the previous episodes is what she's talking about here. All the things she's doing and all the places she's going. She's on her own, blah, blah. But when she gets to the bridge, she's looking back 3+ years.
Yeah.
Right?
And the music stops. It changes. Yeah. It stops. It slows down.
Yeah.
And in those moments, I always remember when we were talking about at the end of the last record, where she was like, "You're free to go," and it's like it's like going out into the garden after she gets home, and you know she's having one of those this feels like another moment where she's contemplating whether or not she should stay or go.
Totally. Yeah. No, this is the crisis of it, like, you know, admitting to that she failed something. And then being like, and then coming to a place where she can let go of it and be like, you know what?
It doesn't matter to me. I don't give a.
I don't give a fuck. And the truth is, we know she does. Meaning this is such like bravado.
Yeah.
And like such sort of like, I don't give a fuck. No one can hurt me. And it's like, well, but we hear the pain.
Oh.
Right? And it's real pain. And in fact, it's the first time on this album where we've heard the real pain.
Yes, yes. Right? And it lays groundwork for things that are coming, like Love Spent and Falling yeah. Free and things like that. And then but then what's so brilliant is it dives back into it.
Yes.
She doesn't linger over it. Doesn't. She goes back in, okay, back to work.
Right. And well, she lets Nicki take it because she needs a moment to collect herself. I mean, uh-huh. honestly, do you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Welcome back, Nicki Minaj. Shots fire. Anything you hear, Nicki, you on that fire. You don't hear them bums doing nothing, that's fire. Tell them catch fire. In the Bugatti, 10 grand, one tire. Hey, yo, Madonna. Make her say you original, dan dada. In the Yagabana, in the Aja Parada. We material girls, ain't nobody hada. Pops color. Can relate to your vow, vow. And you can't get these shoes out of Al Dow. When I let a dude go, that's his loud. I was cutting them checks, I was his fault. Yo, I don't give a F, curse nor flex. Never let him stress you. Yo, I ain't a businesswoman, I'm a businesswoman. And I'm known for giving bitches the businesswoman. Nicki is just now ascending into this kind of rarefied world that Madonna lives in. And so yeah. she's also getting a sense of like, oh, I know what that is, but I also know how hard it is to... She's almost like an earlier version of Madonna trying to get there. Hmm. And she's like, oh, I know how hard it was to get to this level. I'm there now. I'm ascending and yeah. I'm working really hard to get to this level. And then to see that the hard work never ends...
Right.
And it just gets harder and there's just more demands.
And also that the further you go up that hill, the less connected you are. Your life is so different that you're really just dealing with different kinds of things.
Yeah.
Like none of the things on her list are things that are on my list or would be going through my day. Maybe about the Wi-Fi, but mostly
the Wi-Fi. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, Kenny.
But most of it's unrelatable, meaning it's just in a world that's beyond me. And I love the lines in here where she talks about that. Like she goes, "See, I really can't relate to your Volvo."
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I'm not driving a Volvo. This line is my favorite. And you can't get these shoes at the Aldo.
Exactly.
I mean, that to me is like, yeah. girl, I'm not. I don't shop at the Aldo anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't need to go there.
Yeah.
I don't even shop. Things come to my house
and
I look
at them. Things come to house in different sizes.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I love that as a way of like, you know, I'm different than you. And then she clarifies it. And yes, the lines that are about our season. I ain't a businesswoman. I'm a businesswoman. And there is a big difference about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's one that's in control and one that you're part of a system.
Yeah.
One where you're making a system. And I'm known for giving bitches the businesswoman.
Yeah. And that to me is the part that where that swagger comes back and she's got this kind of like, you know, I don't have fucking time to deal with piddly things. I've got these big swings I've got to make. And so I'm not going to worry about what people think of me.
Right.
I don't have time. It's not.
Right.
It's
and I
not
do think
the,
that's a key to success. It's
yeah.
like you have to keep moving, right?
Yeah.
Things are going to rise and fall. There's going to be failures and successes and all really have to be looked through the same lens of like, it's one of the things I'm doing on my journey. Okay. That didn't work. That worked. Let's go further that way. Okay. No, let's pivot. Let's, you know, and,
yeah.
and oh, that sucked. I really wanted that to work, but it didn't. Okay. Goodbye.
Next. You know, next. You know. Next.
Again,
next.
I think, juxtaposed with a personal life where like it's not really easy to move on from that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and so much of this, I mean, one of the things that is so powerful about that bridge and then having Nicki take over is Madonna doesn't linger on anything very long. So I'm curious as to like if there's a crisis in her life and she needs to sit and have a meaningful conversation with somebody,
yeah.
how does that work? How does she downshift to be like, okay, I'm going to have unscheduled end time for this conversation.
I don't think she has unscheduled
Lourdes has a broken heart. Like she doesn't yeah. have 20 minutes. She can't do it all. And it's not like an episode of The Cosby Show where it can end in 25 minutes. Do you know what I mean?
I do, but
like,
how does
she negotiate that where it's like, you know what, Mom, I need an afternoon with you where we just hang out and maybe talk about the problem, but not.
Right.
Necessarily.
And Madonna's like, I can do it in 2014.
I have a window.
Yeah.
Well, I do. January 2nd.
That's such a good point. And a really interesting thing, you know, I was watching Trixie and Katya. So Katya was talking with, Bob the drag queen is talking about it because Bob is like,
Trixie invited me over to her place one time and she said, this was so fierce, but I need to start borrowing this. She was like, do you want to come over?
Uh-huh.
For like 2 hours.
Listen.
I was like,
listen, it is fierce. It's fierce.
So I knew when I showed up, I knew when my marching papers were, my walking papers were going to be served to me. There was no delusions.
I love it. I'm upset. I love it. I love
from
that.
The, yeah, do you want to come over for like 2 hours?
Yeah. What are you doing for the next 90 minutes?
So I showed up at 6 and baby at 8, Trixie was standing up. All right, thank you. It's been such a pleasure.
She has taken you by the shoulders and she has escorted you from the home.
But I was so annoyed because I wanted her to know that I was going to leave at 8 o'clock. Like even like she didn't have to start moving. She started moving at like 7:49. I was going to start moving at 7:50.
So I wonder if Madonna's like, I have time with Lourdes, or, you know, Lourdes, I know you're going through something. I have 2 hours in my afternoon. Why don't we hang out and go do something together? Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. And the
timer goes off. It like gives her an alert.
She's like, we're not going to maybe solve this today, but at least they'll spend some time with you, because what else is she going to do when she's super busy? You know, but,
well, and I mean, I want to talk about the Trixie thing, because I think it is, in some ways, it's kind of like, you're kind of crazy. Second of all, though, it does a lot that you're not going to let things fall through the cracks,
right?
Because you do have these windows of time. And I wonder, like, does Trixie have a 2 hour window every day where it's like, this is my open time that I can like slot somebody in if I want? I could, you know, do whatever I want. Like, it's just a window.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know for sure because I can't talk from my own experience, but I think super, super successful people have so much more control over their calendars than I feel like I do. Because meaning my week is open at a certain point and then like their meetings. And then sometimes I can't say, like, I could say I'm not available at this time because it's my free time. I mean, I wouldn't tell them it's my free time, but I'm like, well, that's my free time. I'll move it to a different time or I'll just lose it today. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, but you choose it. You choose to do that. So if you have a 3 hour window, because, you know, I know somebody who has a 3 hour window every day they do for their deep thinking time. And I'm putting that in quotes. Sometimes that's 3 hours of deep thinking and writing and thinking. Other times some of that gets cut up and they go to the gym or they go to a yoga class with their kid or they just use it up, but they choose to do that. Somebody says, actually, we need those 3 hours for you to go to the doctor.
Right.
Like that's not negotiable in their conversation. I am much more structured. Everything is structured and I have windows of time that I devote. I always try and keep Sundays open.
Same. Yeah.
And
exactly.
Here we are on a Sunday. But I chose to, that. We both chose it. So I think if you can have one day a week, and I wish this on Madonna too. I hope she has a day a week where there's nothing scheduled.
I think she does, though.
I hope.
Her weekends, I think, are much more casual, it seems. Like, she really is a 9-to-5, Monday through Friday kind of gal. Working Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Just follow my time.
But I also love an idea of her having a Wednesday off.
I think that...
Like, Wednesday and Sunday are, like, the perfect days,
doctor's
right?
Doctor's hours.
Yeah, like, Wednesday, she has the day, and that's, like, an open day. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, she hits it hard. And then Sunday's another open
day. This was, again, we've talked about this with the Hard Candy era, too, like, where she really pushed all of the press and all the work things on certain... It looked like she was working one day a week and doing that and doing other things on the other days.
Yeah.
And so, I'm guessing that she... I'm sure she had more availability and flexibility in her schedule than we realize, you know? I remember there was this interview with Joan Rivers, who I miss every day.
Oh, my gosh. I was just... somebody sent me her Emmy... her daytime Emmy speech when she won for talk show.
I always had a fantasy, you know, as a child that I'd win one of these. And I never thought I'd be this old when the fantasy came true, but here it is. And I didn't think I was going to win. I'm not being cute. So I have no speech prepared. I have to thank... I have to thank everyone at Tribune. They taught me what it's like to work with honorable, decent people. And no, you don't know. I don't mean it that way. Thank you to Shelley and to Peter Marino and to Don Hacker, to my staff, who was incredible. And I don't mean this cute. I mean, working at 5 a.m. happily, to our crew that's wonderful, to Dorothy Melvin, my manager, to Steve Ober, who started the show, to Larry, who just brought it to what it is today, Larry Ferber. And especially, I know the red light's on, so I have to hurry, to my daughter, Melissa, because the last 2 years have been very difficult. 2 years ago, I couldn't get a job in this business. I could not get a job. My income dropped to 1/16 of what it was before I was fired. And people said I wouldn't work again. And my husband, as you know, had a breakdown. It's so sad that he's not here, because it was my husband, Edgar Rosenberg, who always said, you can turn things around. And except for one terrible moment in a hotel room in Philadelphia when he forgot that, this is really him, because he was with me from the beginning, and I'm so sorry he's not here.
Yeah. Oh my God. And this was like the mid 80s. Yeah. So she had so much more to come.
Yes.
And it was like some of her greatest stuff,
you know? Yeah. There was this interview, this was late in her life, and it was like basically about how many nights of the week she's on the road. And it was like, she was on the road like 340 days a year or something. And the person's like, don't you ever take a break or whatever, how many days a week it was, days of the year it was. And they were like, you don't take a break. You need to take a break. She's like, don't worry. I have a great life. I take great vacations. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time with my family. And, you know, I think from the outside, we just see all the shit that she's talking about in the song.
Yeah.
But I think on the inside, there's probably a lot of space for her to move and spend
time.
And
be spontaneous and feel. To Joan Rivers, first of all, RIP the Laurie Beachman Theater, which is closing at the end of the summer at the West Bank Cafe, because that is a really sad thing. And Joan Rivers loved that space.
Yeah.
And I got to see her perform surprise stand-up.
Oh, cool.
Like, she just showed up. She's like, I want to do 20 minutes. Aww. And she walked right up there and did it. It was amazing. I think the audience was in shock for the first 8 minutes. They couldn't believe it was her. And then I love that thing in A Piece of Work, her documentary, where she shows an empty calendar, mm-hmm, and she says, see that? That's terrifying,
right,
to me.
Totally.
See this? And then she turns to the month before. That's a good schedule. And it's literally like 30-minute increments throughout the day where she's just going and going. And it's so much about logistics.
Yes.
And that's got to be very wearisome. Like, just getting from point A to point B. And once you're in the moment, I think there's a lot of things that happen.
Yes.
But I just...
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why she, you know, Tina was so great for her, because Tina was and is still in, you know, she just got an award in her local school district for her organizational skills.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was able to maximize the lunch period times at the school. I mean, that's a huge thing.
And it saved the school district like thousands of dollars.
Can I tell you a rumor I heard?
Yeah.
I heard it on a text message thread today. I heard that Tim Walz, our new vice president candidate, is trying to get Tina to join his team. Yes, not for the campaign, because she's booked, obviously, with school stuff, but for the transition period later. They're really trying. They're leaning heavily on her. He sent her a chocolate bunny.
Oh, well, she loves those.
I know.
Was it milk or dark?
It was dark chocolate.
Perfect.
And it wasn't hollow.
Oh,
it was a full dark chocolate.
Remember, she had
bunny.
That whole diatribe about the hollow.
All that wasted air.
But also, there was that time when she opened the hollow one up, and there was like a microphone that Madonna had planted to try to listen to her.
Never trust Madonna. Oh, my goodness.
Listen, after Nikki's rap, we get to, you know, I love that there's only one queen. And that's Madonna.
And then it's the bizarre ending.
Oh my God, I love this.
I hate the ending. It is like a mashup of Easy Ride and all this crap. What is that? What is the point of this?
Drama.
No.
It is drama.
It's been dramatic for the first 3 minutes.
I know, we're not. No, but this is like drama that to me is what the promise of the opening of Girl Gone Wild has been, which is like, we're in this like heightened world.
Yeah.
This is, it cracks me up. I love it. It's so over the top.
But it has nothing to do with the rest of the song. And is that the point?
Or the album. But it's sort of like,
I feel like Madonna commissioned some strings guy to make an arrangement. And they was like, oh, I don't want to do this. We got to put it somewhere. We're not wasting the money.
I just love that it's like the statement. It's like, I don't give a fuck. And I don't give a fuck so much that I'm going to make a fucking opera out of it.
We're going to have an opera out of it. Okay.
I love it. It's boom, boom. It's like, it's ridiculous.
Well, it begins the kind of relationship with ballet and operatic stuff, like the dark ballet will bring back.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
There's a lot of roots to dark ballet here. And I was thinking about it, like, is dark ballet next on this weird album?
But wouldn't that be a great set if dark ballet came right after this?
Oh, my God. Or started, like we started with dark ballet and then Madonna emerged to sing I Don't Give A.
I Don't Give A / American Life mashup, right?
Oh, yeah.
She has to do the rap from
yes
in the middle of this. Wow.
This was never a single. This
Except it did chart.
It charted
oddly,
like in like
South Korea.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it got to like 100 and something in South Korea.
You know
Korea.
The work ethic of the Koreans. they appreciate a working lady.
Well, I think they also appreciated like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't
give a.
Who knows why this song got there? Like why this song was the one that charted in South Korea? Like how did,
well,
you know what I'm saying?
Maybe it was the Nicki Minaj of it all.
Maybe.
Could Nicki have kind of punctured that filter?
I think it's possible that they at least got some play.
I love that Nicki Minaj is on this. It just brings it to the, and it brings kind of like, hey, we're working moms trying to make it all happen for our kids and for us, and we're single. And
well, they are really good partners. I mean, I love what she does on Bitch and Madonna. I'm hoping whenever Madonna comes out with a new album that maybe Nicki will be on that too.
I hope so too.
I think they have the same, they have a similar sensibility, artistic sensibility, and work ethic. And
you know, they dial up the drama without taking themselves too seriously.
Yeah,
that's the key. They're willing to go for it without it being too over the top.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I feel like we should put to-do lists together, Kenny.
Don't you do a to-do list every day?
I do, and I cross it off, but I leave it so that I remember what I did, not what I just have to do.
Oh.
Oprah taught me that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oprah teaches us a lot every day.
Till next time.
Bye.